Have you ever seen that movie, The Devil Wears Prada? Remember Andy Sachs feeling all out of sorts in the glamorous but intimidating world of high fashion? That's imposter syndrome on the big screen, hitting right in the feels, because honestly, who hasn't been there? So when we chat about feeling like we're faking it till we make it, know you're in good company. It's like a secret club, but the kind where everyone eventually realizes they deserve their seat at the table. Hey there. Welcome back to Unscripted Pivots with me, Danielle Sproles, where we embrace the unexpected and dive headfirst into life's big pivots. Today, we're flipping the script on that sneaky companion that likes to follow us around. Can you guess it? We're tackling imposter syndrome. I'm talking about that nagging whisper that tries to convince us we're as out of place as, I don't know, a ballet dancer in a boardroom during those pivotal career moments. If we're getting real here, and I mean really real, you all know I've recently turned the page on a chapter of my life that had pretty much been the whole book for the last two decades. Making the decision to step away was truly daunting. But here I am, diving headfirst into the world of coaching full-time with dreams of lighting up stages with the WTF, Women That Flourish, message that's become the heartbeat of this podcast. And sure, from where I stand now, it looks like this path could lead to something pretty incredible. But if I'm laying all my cards on the table, there are moments when doubt creeps in, whispering, Danielle, who do you think you are to make this big leap? As I find my footing among some truly awe-inspiring coaches and podcasters who've already carved their niches, it's hard not to feel like a bit of an outsider. Doubts, fears, and that nagging sense of not belonging can sometimes feel like unwanted guests at my own party. But here's the thing, my WTF friends. I'm armed. Armed with the very tools and strategies I teach to face down these moments of doubt. And yet, I think it's important, vital even, to talk about it here with you today. Because whether we've faced our WTF moments in the past head on, or in the thick of it right now, or have that fork in the road waiting for us just around the bend, imposter syndrome is a shadow we've all danced with. And if there's one thing I've learned, it's that shedding light on these shadows together makes them a whole lot less intimidating. So grab your gear, my fearless women that flourish, because we're going to dismantle this myth piece by piece. I've gathered wisdom from the boldest women leaders, sprinkled in a few chuckles to ease the weight, and lined up some straight talk strategies to kindly, but firmly, guide imposter syndrome out the door. Let's get into it. So, what makes tackling imposter syndrome so crucial? Navigating the professional world as a woman often involves facing a bunch of challenges, some external and others, well, deeply internal. Among the latter, there's a particularly insidious obstacle that stands out, not for its visibility, but for its pervasive impact on women's perception of their own success. Imposter syndrome acts as an unseen yet formidable obstacle to the success of numerous women. It's like that nagging voice that whispers, you know what, or sometimes even shouts, you're a fraud, and soon everyone will know. I mean, despite achievements, accolades, and undeniable evidence of competence, this psychological phenomenon leaves incredibly capable women doubting their abilities and fearing they'll be exposed as a fraud. I've experienced it myself. I have seen it time and time again in conversations with women that I deeply respect and even the women that I coach. So let's define the beast. At its core, imposter syndrome represents a profound gap between how individuals perceive their abilities and how capable they actually are. This psychological pattern, where people doubt their accomplishments and have a persistent internal fear of being exposed as a quote-unquote fraud, is not just about modesty or momentary lack of confidence. No, it's a complex phenomenon that affects how individuals view their entire professional and personal identity. Did you know the term imposter syndrome was first introduced by psychologists Dr. Pauline Clance and Dr. Suzanne Imes in their 1978 study? They observed this syndrome in high-achieving women who, despite outstanding academic and professional accomplishments, couldn't shake off the belief that they were not truly intelligent or deserving. Now, these women attributed their successes to external factors like luck or timing, rather than their own skill, intelligence, or hard work. Now, isn't that something? Imagine reaching the peak of your career only to feel like you accidentally took the wrong elevator to the top. Have you ever found yourself dismissing a compliment on your work, thinking it was just good timing, or maybe that they just didn't see the flaws that you see? Or how about when you nail a presentation or a project? Do you internally credit your late nights, or do you shrug it off as a fluke? These brilliant psychologists put a name to that sneaky feeling, but they also opened up a can of worms. How many of us, regardless of our gender, have felt that sting of doubt, whispering we're not quite cut out for our own successes? And I want you to think about this. If these feelings were common amongst high-achieving women way back in 1978, how has that scenario evolved today? I mean, consider it. With the rise of social media, constant comparison, and the quote-unquote highlight reel culture, you know, with Instagram, could it be that more of us are feeling like imposters than ever before? What does it mean for us in our day-to-day lives, and how does it affect our performance, our relationships, and our self-esteem? So, as you're listening, I want you to ask yourself, have you ever downplayed your achievements, attributing them to anything but your own abilities? How often do you catch yourself feeling like you're about to be quote-unquote found out? These questions aren't just rhetorical. They're a mirror, offering us a glimpse into our own battles with feeling like an imposter, inspired at the groundbreaking work of Dr. Clance and Dr. Imes. Further research into imposter syndrome has revealed that it does not exclusively affect women. No, men are equally susceptible, though the patterns of thought and behavior it triggers can vary based on a range of factors, including gender, background, and field of work. Because the syndrome often manifests in perfectionism, overworking, undermining one's own achievements, fear of failure, and the reluctance to begin new tasks. Studies suggest that imposter syndrome can be linked to factors like family expectations, early academic success, and societal pressures. Does that sound familiar to you? Additionally, environments that emphasize competition and where diversity is lacking can exacerbate feelings of being an imposter. This is particularly significant in fields where women, people of color, or other minority groups are underrepresented and may feel an additional pressure to prove their worth. Did you know Maya Angelou, with her 11 books and a treasure chest of awards, once admitted to feeling like a fraud? Yep. She said, uh-oh, they're going to find out now. I've run a game on everybody and they're going to find me out. Imagine that. She shared these feelings in interviews, reminding us all that it's okay to have doubts, even when you're at the top of your game. And guess what? She's not the only one. Meryl Streep, our queen of the silver screen, has also talked about doubting her acting chops. Can you believe it? Then there's Sheryl Sandberg in her book Lean In, chatting about how imposter syndrome can sneak up and stop a woman in her tracks. Now let's talk numbers, because they don't lie. It turns out about 70% of people will feel like an imposter at some point. And that's not just women, by the way. though we often hear about it more in our circles, possibly because of how society shapes our views on success and failure. Have you ever seen that movie, The Devil Wears Prada? Remember Andy Sachs feeling all out of sorts in the glamorous but intimidating world of high fashion? That's imposter syndrome on the big screen, hitting right in the feels, because honestly, who hasn't been there? Even commercials are getting in on the action, showing stories of women pushing past their self-doubt to grab their dreams. These aren't just ads, they're mini pep talks, reminding us we're all in the same boat. So when we chat about feeling like we're faking it till we make it, know you're in good company. It's like a secret club, but the kind where everyone eventually realizes they deserve their seat at the table. Let's keep these conversations going, ladies. It's about how we turn those doubts into dust. And it just goes to show that imposter syndrome doesn't discriminate by title or industry. It sneaks into the minds of CEOs, artists, scientists, and more. So let's examine now how it manifests, and I encourage you to consider if any of these stereotypes resonate with you. Remember, honesty is key. I'll admit right out of the gate that at some point or another, I have fallen into every category that I'm about to highlight. Buckle up. Here we go. First up, the perfectionist. Nothing is ever good enough. You've set unattainable goals and then berate yourself for not meeting them. This is the person who might spend hours tweaking a presentation or a project, obsessing over details that others might not even notice. The irony? When you do achieve something, you just move the goalposts further. It's a never-ending cycle of striving for perfection, which, let's be honest, is as achievable as catching a unicorn. Then we have the superwoman. Feeling like a fraud, the superwoman pushes herself harder to measure up to the real deal, often to the point of burnout. This is for the folks who stay late at the office, volunteer for every project, and still feel the need to bake 3 dozen cookies for the school fundraiser. Why? Because proving you can do it all seems like the only way to shake the feeling that you're not actually good at any of it. Spoiler alert, it's an express train to Burnout City with no stops for self-care. Next up, we have the natural genius. If you have worked hard enough to accomplish something, you think it means you're not good enough. This one hits home for so many folks who are always told they were the quote-unquote smart ones in the family or in school. So when something doesn't come easily, say learning a new language or mastering a new skill, it feels like a personal failure. But here's a little secret. Even Einstein had to study. And then there's the rugged individualist. Asking for help? Oh, that's a big no-no for you because it means admitting you're a fraud. This is the lone wolf who would rather spend hours figuring out something themselves than ask for directions. In their mind, needing help is like holding up a giant sign that says, "I have no idea what I'm doing." But honestly, some of the greatest achievements in history were team efforts. It's okay to pass the ball. And lastly, let's examine the expert. You fear you're being exposed as inexperienced or unknowledgeable, so you're always trying to learn more, never feeling like you know enough. Ever met someone who's like this, like that's got 3 degrees, speaks 4 languages, and still thinks they don't qualify for the job they've been doing for a decade? That's the expert. They're on a quest for infinite knowledge, not because learning is fun, though it can be, but because they're convinced they'll never know truly enough things to make them really confident. And the truth is, expertise isn't about knowing everything. It's about knowing how to find the answers. Did any of these hit close to home? I'll admit, I found myself both cringing and smirking as I went through them. All right, now let's dive into the whole when does imposter syndrome decide to crash our party thing. You know, this sneaky little voice doesn't wait for an invite. It just shows up, especially during those big life changes, you know, our unscripted pivots. Think about it. Starting a new job, getting that well-deserved promotion, or jumping into a completely new field. It's like the more awesome stuff we achieve, the louder that voice gets, telling us we're about to drop the ball. Pretty ironic, right? So why does this happen more during these big moments? Well, there's this thing called the Dunning-Kruger effect, which is basically a fancy way of saying that the more you know, the more you doubt yourself. And guess what? Studies show that about 70% of us will feel like an imposter at some point. That's a lot of us feeling like we're faking it during these transitions, whether it's stepping into a grad program, tackling a new role, or being the newbie in a competitive field. And let's talk about those of us stepping into areas where maybe we don't see a lot of faces like ours. Women, especially in fields like STEM, or anyone in a space where they're in the minority, can really feel this imposter syndrome hit hard. It's not just about the new job or the title. It's about feeling like you have to prove you belong there in the first place. And the crazy part? The more you succeed, the more you feel like you have something to lose. Honestly, it's like being stuck on a hamster wheel. You're running and running, trying to prove you're not a fraud, but also scared one little slip is going to bring it all crashing down. This isn't just exhausting. It can really put a damper on enjoying our successes and moving forward. So, what do we do about it? First off, knowing that this is a common feeling can make a huge difference. Plus, things like finding a mentor, being part of a supportive community, and just giving ourselves a break can help us kick those imposter feelings to the curb. Let's chat about acknowledging our wins, asking for feedback, and challenging those doubts head on. After all, we're in this together, and it's all about lifting each other up and remembering we're not alone in feeling this way. I want to share some strategic maneuvers against imposter syndromes that I coach on with my clients. First up, acknowledge the imposter within. Naming the feeling is a powerful step towards disempowering it. It's like turning on the light to see there's no monster under the bed, just an old shoe and some dust bunnies. Recognizing that these feelings of being an imposter are just feelings, not facts, can help you start to take their power away. Say it with me. I'm feeling like an imposter, but that doesn't mean I am one. Second, gather your evidence. Keep a file of positive feedback, accomplishments, and successes to counteract the imposter narrative. Think of it as your personal hype book, something you can flip through when you need a reminder of how awesome you really are. This can be anything from thank you emails, certificates of achievement, or even a list of milestones you've hit. It's like your go-to for those days when the imposter monster is whispering a little too loudly. Third, remember, talk about it. Sharing your feelings with trusted friends or mentors or coaches like me can demystify them and provide perspective. It's like when you tell a friend about a nightmare and suddenly it doesn't seem so scary anymore. Speaking your fears out loud can help shrink them down to size. Plus, you'll often find that you're not alone. Chances are your friends and mentors have danced with their own imposter fears too. Four, reframe failure. See mistakes as part of the growth process, not evidence of your imposter status. Reframing is everything. It's how we turn our WTF moments into women that flourish experiences, right? Instead of viewing a stumble as proof you don't belong, see it as a step on the path to mastery. Every misstep is a lesson in disguise, teaching you how to be even more fabulous at what you do. Number 5, and listen up for this one, stop comparing. Your journey is unique. Comparing your behind the scenes to everyone's highlighted reel only fuels the fraud feelings. Remember, social media is a curated gallery of highs, not the everyday reality. By focusing on your own path, you celebrate your progress and learn to value your unique process and timeline. 6, accept that you can't know everything. Embrace a mindset of lifelong learning. Not knowing something doesn't make you a fraud. It makes you human. The smartest people know there's always more to learn. Instead of fearing questions you can't answer, get excited about the chance to discover something new. It's about being a student of life, endlessly curious and open to growth. Lastly, number 7, seek support. Sometimes we need professional help to untangle the deep-seated beliefs that feed our imposter syndrome. Asking for help is a sign of strength, not weakness. Whether it's coaching, therapy, or a support group, getting help is like hiring a guide for your journey out of imposter territory. They can provide the tools, support, and perspective you need to navigate your way to a place of self-assurance and empowerment. You know, imposter syndrome is no small adversary, but it's not insurmountable. By understanding its manifestations, recognizing its universality among even the most successful women, and adopting strategic approaches to challenge and overcome it, we can diminish its power over us. After all, the only true fraud is the belief that we are not enough just as we are. Now, as we wind down today's conversation, let's linger a moment longer on some thoughts. How do we begin to peel away the layers of doubt that imposter syndrome wraps around our accomplishments? Can we pledge to start acknowledging our efforts and successes with the same enthusiasm we tend to reserve for others? And here's something to ponder. When was the last time you celebrated a win without a shadow of doubt lurking in the background? Imagine a world where we all felt as confident and deserving as we truly are. What steps can you take starting today to live that reality? Reflect on the moments that you felt most fraudulent. Now challenge those feelings. Were they truly a reflection of your ability, or were they the echo of an unfounded syndrome? Consider next the power of sharing your experiences with imposter syndrome. Could opening up about your feelings be the key to unlocking someone else's prison of doubt? As we close, remember this. You are not alone in your journey with imposter syndrome. It's a shared struggle, one that we can confront together. How will you start to rewrite your narrative, knowing that you're part of a vast community facing the same challenge? Let these questions guide you as we say goodbye for now. May they inspire reflection, conversation, and most importantly, action. Remember, in the battle against imposter syndrome, you wield the ultimate weapon, the truth of your own worth. Until next time, keep flourishing and never forget, you are exactly where you are meant to be, achievements and all. Thank you for tuning into Unscripted Pivots and joining the WTF Women That Flourish community today. And when your next WTF moment hits, remember this, you are built to flourish. Please help spread the word, share this episode, and if it inspired you, a 5-star review would mean the world to me. It's a powerful way to help us reach more people just like you. In the show notes, you will find all guest information. And if you're thinking about working with a coach, I'd love to hear from you. My website is unscriptedpivots.com. There you will find not only my calendar, but WTF highlights and resources designed to empower you. Until next time, face challenges head on, knowing you're meant to flourish through every pivot. See you soon.